Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Today is opening day. And the Pirates gave us a quick reminder of this regular season nerves we've been waiting for all winter. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast.
I'm bummed out. Yeah.
Yins, guys. Thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. Oh, nope. His name is Jake.
I'm bummed out. Yeah.
So, we have 0% chance to win the division now.
Zero.
Let's just cut the whole team and start over. Keep Skeens and Reynolds and we'll just start over.
Replacements. Washington Wild Things, you're hired.
Washington Wild Things, yeah. I honestly thought you were going to say Washington Sentinels from the movie.
you gotta keep it, you know, close.
No,
you gotta keep it close. Bring him in.
Might as well.
Season's
over.
Hey, guys. Listen, as much as it is what it is, it's opening day. And we're all bummed out, but this is the way baseball goes. We're gonna navigate through it. We're gonna go ahead and sit in this for a minute. We're gonna talk about some other things, and you know, it's opening day. It's back, and kind of what I said in the opening, Jake. We've been waiting for those feelings. We've been waiting for the, you know, you don't get that in spring training. If you do, God have mercy on you if you're getting that nervous during a spring training game. But now the games count, and it's all right to get nervous. But the best thing about baseball is you get to try again tomorrow without Paul Skeens, though. All right, yeah. Initial reaction here. Yeah, you do get Mitch. You shouldn't, but you do get Mitch. We'll talk about that. Initial reaction here is when I looked at the Marlins lineup, I follow the game, Jake. And I was like, man, there's a lot of names that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I even looked in one of them who ended up hitting the walk-off hit and saying, that's the guy they got from the Orioles. Like, I knew him from the Orioles. Alcantara was awesome. Skeens was really good. Both of them, like most opening days, not real efficient, not going to go 8 innings for the most part. But they were both really good. I was watching, well, I watched them all. So let's just talk about my setup for opening day here every year. I even can, for those on video, can even kind of show it off a little bit. I'll show this one first. I've got my monitor here and the big monitor up there. And we've got, early on it was a little bit tough because MLB TV was down. But essentially, I've got 5 games on the screen up above me, and I've got 4 games on this part of this screen here. I've got StatCast here. I've got text messages over here, and I had the Pirates on the big TV over there. And that's my opening day. I had 11 games. Actually, did I get to 11? Because the Cardinals game started late, so I'm not sure if I actually had 11 games going at the same time. I think for a brief moment, 11 baseball games on. Just kind of sitting here in the command center watching it all, right?
they need a replay. They just call you.
I might have missed it though, because it's like it's too many. But MLB TV being down made it a little bit easier to track. Now I got the Pirates game. I get Cleveland. I get Cincinnati. The Yankees and Brewers were on ESPN. So I still had quite a few games to watch even before that. But Miles says he actually recognized Dane Meyers from his time with the Seawolves. Dane Meyers, man, when I saw Dane Meyers on the roster, that's not the guy I pictured. But that guy did not want to swing the bat. I'll say that. I see it on there. See it on the screen. So anyway, for those of you listening to audio, I had a lot of windows up. I know I was kind of pointing and stuff like that. But anyway, the Pirates lose this one. And there's something about following Paul Skeens that makes you not able to throw a strike.
Well, let me back up a little bit. You kind of didn't take a breath between any of your words, so I couldn't talk. I thought Skeens was pretty efficient through the first three.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got it on. I was at work, so I couldn't like watch pitch by pitch. But
sure,
I happened to look down at my, you know, because I'm over there playing with chocolate, and I just got my phone set up there so I can see the game when I can.
Yeah.
I looked down, and I think it was going into the third inning, if he would have got a ground ball and got the double play when we had runners on the corners, he could have got out of the third inning at 40 pitches. Like, that's not bad. I think that's pretty efficient. But then, you know, things kind of went a little on him, and then the fourth and fifth kind of got away from him. But
yep,
as far as efficiency goes.
Right. He ends up throwing 94 pitches. Now, Alcantara threw 91 and didn't even get out of the fifth inning. Kind of fell apart there. He ended up with four walks. Alcantara did, you know what I mean? And really, really kind of fell apart. And I'll say for the first positive thing we'll say today, the Pirates took advantage of it. And that's something that they wouldn't have done last year. When a guy starts falling apart, you've got to put something across or something in. And they were able to do that. So I think that's really good. But it does come down to, you know, Paul Skeens, a lot of that efficiency, a lot of that, you know, kind of did go away. I mean, 94 pitches into the sixth inning is, no matter what way you cut it up, is not efficient. And that's the whole day, right? So,
yeah.
You know, even let's say, I mean, 18, I guess, hold on. I have to actually, so it's like 17 and a half pitches an inning. Or per, I don't remember what it is, man. I had the math in my head, but I lost it. But either way, like, it's not, you're not there. And the fact that he did it and only had seven strikeouts.
Yeah.
Like, he got out of two innings with a double play.
Yeah.
And still got to 94. Listen, I mean, he gave up three hits and one run. And if it wasn't for the two walks, like, this is brave. He was left in the game too long. He shouldn't have been in there to even get to that point to where it hurt as bad as he did. But ultimately,
he said, this is brave.
It is, because I saw everybody like, you should have left him in there to finish the inning. And I'm like, bro was not going to finish the inning.
Walk without back to back guys.
Back to back guys. And maybe after the first one, I think I'm moving on. When he's up to that pitch count, I don't know, man. I just don't know. But you're not getting there, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Paul Skeens falling apart still might be better than anybody in the bullpen right now.
Maybe.
You know what's good about the season being here?
We got 161 more of these to go.
Well, that, and we can play this more.
This is fine.
So yeah, all right, let's break it down, man, because there are things to break down. Brian Reynolds again, great at bats, and came through in a big moment. Nick Gonzalez with a big home run, and then coincidentally, anyway, he hurt his foot running to first on a home run.
Jogging first.
Jogging first. At first, I thought maybe it was going to be like a cramp or maybe even like tweak something as he like, it barely got out. So I thought maybe he was like, oh crap, I got to run hard. Oh, no, I don't. And they're like, you know how when you turn it on and turn it off, sometimes that can get you. But that didn't seem like that's what it was either.
I thought it cleared the bullpen.
Well, but it wasn't high. So I would imagine there was some doubt. Like you held your breath, watching the game, you held your breath. Was it getting out? I'm sure he thought off the bat, this thing's way gone. But then as it got out there, I don't know, there might've been a moment, maybe not. Maybe he knew it the whole entire time. So either way, I don't know. You want to stay with pitching here because I mean, I've got things. I've hinted around at this for a while, and this is one game and I realize it and it's fine, but I've hinted around at this for a while. We had three guys in the bullpen tonight that were questionable. And the one I'm most nervous about, Jake, is Dennis Santana. He does not look competitive to me. And I know that the spring was fine, and I know that last year was fine, but that time he spent with the Pirates last year was the only time that he's been a good pitcher in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just nervous about it. They weren't competitive pitches. He got a strikeout, but like I'm telling you, this lineup, they put some good swings on some balls. I was impressed. But it was a walk or a strikeout in that inning, that whole inning. It was a walk or a strikeout. And you just can't walk four guys in an inning. Five guys, technically, because we're going to talk about Holderman a little bit later and a pitch that he threw. But before we do that, I think it's only fair to talk about Barucki walked that guy on four pitches. And he was given a gift on the out on off the plate, right? And
yeah.
He was given a gift and then throws two more strikes that the guy just decides, Dane Myers, that I'm not swinging the bat. And he got out of it. And so I'm just saying, like, what are we sharing here? What are we talking about? I see you laughing, saying like, well, look, it was a bit of a behavior. I get it. 23 ballparks. I understand that. But it was a 23 degree launch angle. It was a line drive. I don't know if you guys are saying I'm crazy.
No, I'm just sharing some stuff while you're talking, man.
Okay, Dave, that's actually a really good point. Dave White says, reminded me of Kirk Gibson around the bases. When I talked to Jake on the phone the other day, it's literally what I said. I was like, he couldn't even hardly get around the bases, Kirk Gibson style.
I will make fun of you for that one, though. The other day? It was like an hour ago.
Did I say the other day?
Yeah.
Listen, it's been a long day. And it's not even over. We got two more games tonight, and the Dodgers are still playing. They're up 5-4 in the bottom of the eighth. Tigers, man. But this
Otani
is this.
Went deep.
This is another. I missed that. I saw Tommy Edman. I saw Teoscar. But like you're looking at this right now, Tarik Skubal, Blake Snell. This is a 5-4 game. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody's perfect. You're not. Skeens ain't going to go out there. I mean, for what he did, he was great. He gave up two runs on opening day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's fine. It's normal. Ferguson threw a really good inning. I liked what I saw from him. Everything was fine there. And then Holderman is just all over the place again. And sure, it might be one outing and he might go 10 in a row, just good. And it's fine. But like when you start to talk about who can you trust, you had two guys in that bullpen that people will say, they'll say Santana, they'll say Holderman. And neither one of those guys can be trusted because they're going to walk two guys every once in a while. They just weren't competitive tonight. And I'm sorry, I'm nervous about Bednar too. I think we all are. I think it's right that we all are. Bucko Mike sent me a message earlier and said, we're going with Bednar in the ninth and not saving your closer. And I said, do you want him pitching with the Manfred runner at second? Like, I don't feel good about that. I want him with a clean inning. I don't want Bednar out there with a Manfred runner out there. So I don't know, man. There's a lot there. So let's get to Bednar now. Oh, actually, let's stay on Holderman. It's the walks that killed him. The bloop base hit to the outfield was a ball outside that he had to reach for because it was a sweeper going outside. It was way outside. He just threw the bat out there, got lucky, base hit. Cruz throws home, which is a huge problem. Can't do that. We've been talking about that a lot. He's going to learn. It's not You're not going to go from spring training to opening day and just automatically learn that lesson.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time. Then he gets the, was it a strikeout then? I don't know. No, it was the ground out, whatever. Well, yeah, moves up to second on the throw, but cruises through. I'm like all over the place right now, man. Thought I wrote it down.
Take a breath.
Yep. Soft ground ball, 56 mile an hour. Strikeout, bloop single, runner scores, strikes out the guy, but it's called a ball. Out of the inning, still with a one run lead. I looked at game day. Game day's got that a ball high, but everywhere else has that a strike. And if you watch the game, that's a strike. You know what I mean? The Marlins put up a video of it going into the zone with a 3D zone and everything, not the one on TV. It is very much a strike. But then he ends up walking another guy. Well, he gives up the base hit to take the lead. Then he gives up walking another guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just can't keep doing it. And then it's Hayes saves IKF on a ball that he threw in the dirt.
Yeah.
You can't walk, guys.
No.
Mistake by Cruz.
That's like the worst thing you can do coming out of the bullpen is walking, guys.
Right.
Free runners suck.
So a walk to me for a reliever in a situation like that is as bad as an error. It's a free base. It's as bad as an error. So we talk about IKF's throw across the, which wasn't an error. Me and you watched that video again just to make sure, was not ruled an error, but that should have been an error.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the game in the third inning, right before the Marlins scored their first run. He throws that away. The run scores on the failed double play. And then after that was a ground out to second. They tried to get another double play, but they wouldn't have had to because there would have been two outs. The run wouldn't have scored. So the first run off Skeens doesn't score if we play good defense. And then Cruz throws the one home. That's another run. Walks turned into runs. The fly ball to center field in the ninth. Let's talk about Bednar and the ninth. That's a pitch up in the zone, off the plate a little bit, but on an 0-2 pitch, you want it to be a lot of bit off the plate. You know what I mean? Not all the way, like not way off the plate, but you don't want to get even a tip of the plate, right? I mean, in high school, our pitchers were not allowed to throw a strike on 0-2 pitches. They weren't allowed.
Yeah.
I don't care if you get a strikeout, that's a pole. You can't throw a strike. You know what I mean? And so that's just what it is. Yes, thank you, Bucko Mike. Pass ball led to another run. That's defense. But anyway, the fly ball to center field hits off the very base of the wall. Cruz is just jogging after it. And I think that he just didn't get a read on it. I think he was moving to where he thought the ball was going to go, and he didn't know where it was. The route was bad. He ends up getting fooled by it. Now he's too close. You know what I'm saying? Now he's too close to the wall. It ends up being a triple by a catcher who, by all means, is not one of the slowest catchers out there, but a catcher. So like 30 percentile in speed, right? I mean, it's not like this guy's JT Realmuto or anything.
Right.
Defense, bad plays, passed balls. That's what loses this game. And walks. You know what I mean? And walks. Santana,
I'll be honest.
Skeens. But Skeens, it's hard because there was five other innings of great pitching.
Yeah.
So it's hard. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna be honest here. And I haven't been all in on Bart yet. You know, I've been hesitant this whole time. Not because of his defense, really. I mean, not that I thought he was a really good defender, but I just wasn't concerned about his defense. I'm literally getting concerned about this because I think that part of it, because we've seen him do this a lot in the spring too, where he just doesn't catch the ball. Like, are our pitchers confident to throw to Bart right now? Like, are we just, you and I know that goes a long way. Yadier Molina had so much to do with his pitching staff because them pitchers had 100% confidence in Yadier Molina behind the plate. He's missing pitches that aren't even moving much. It's a fastball, and he just boom off the glove and can't catch it. Like, I don't know if we have confidence in throwing to Joey Bart right now, which is a huge problem for me because we need his bat in the lineup.
Yeah, him and Cruz, 3-4, 0-8 with a walk and two strikeouts here. And this is one game. I'm not trying to say I've lost confidence in him, but that's big when. The reason I say this is that's big when those two guys cost runs on defense. So if you're going to cost a run on defense, you want to make up for it at the plate. You know what I'm saying? You can want to cancel that out and then let the rest of your team figure out how to score four runs, which they did. Jake, what's the magic number?
Four.
You score four runs, you should win most games. And the Pirates did that today. Of all the things that we talk about, the offense was fine today. Fine enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're still...
Hayes looked good.
Hayes, I just shared that Giga Mosher says Hayes was their best player outside of Skeens today. Hayes looked really good. Got the base hit, was on base another time, stole two bags, played great defense, twice went and charged enough on a ball down like that could have hit the base and got it before it hit the base. That's a tough play to make. Made both plays, smart throws, the pick on the IKF throw. He was very good today. Good sign there. But I'm still going back to the fact that, like, as far as the pitches that were thrown, I mean, Bednar's ninth inning, that ball that was hit for a triple was not a bad pitch.
No.
But it's a 1-2 pitch, I think, if I remember right, that you want just maybe a little bit further away. That one to me was, you got him inside on a fastball. The next one should have been in that same spot. And instead, you let it ride to the outside part of the plate. Still up, still a pretty decent pitch, but you allowed him to catch up to it.
Yeah, you got to get it off the plate away too.
Right.
Not just up. I mean, that's the one I'm okay with going to a 2-2 count on if he doesn't swing.
Yep. And then the intentional walk, he gets two whiffs on a fastball on a guy, Stowers, who likes to swing at the fastball up in the zone. And then you went up again. And once again, if you just throw it like an inch further inside or a couple more inches up, one or the other, and that's a strikeout.
Or just drop a hammer in the dirt. But
he's not throwing his curve.
Is Bart going to catch it?
Well, yes, huge, I think, man. You have to trust that he's going to catch that, especially with already two pass balls. But the thing is like, he's not going to throw that curveball right now. It's not good. And it's not making the fastball effective either. They're going to lay off of it. It's essentially a waste pitch at this time. I mean, we're seeing that. And if he can't tunnel those two pitches, then he's going to, that's the problem. He's got nothing to rely on. He's got nothing to go for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I saw something in the chat here, right here. Share it. Bednar high fastball used to be unhittable. Now, like, they're teeing off because they know that's all he has. If he can't tunnel the curveball with the fastball, they're spitting on the curve.
Yeah.
Until they think that curveball is a fastball and you get a guy lunging after it, it just doesn't matter. And that's been the reason why Bednar isn't dominant right now. That's it.
Yeah.
You look at the fastball on StatCast, it's just as good as it ever was. We're talking about you're missing your spot and you're not throwing that curveball effectively. I don't know if the tipping pitches thing is still happening. Obviously, that's not something that I can pick up on. But I know that the curveball's not effective. And in order for the fastball to be literally like a ghost fastball, like, he would get away with throwing it right down the middle. And he did once tonight. But
Is he throwing the splitter anymore?
I don't know. I can look right now and see, like, what did we get? What pitches did we even get from Bednar tonight? We got six fastballs, two curveballs. And then two curveballs were thrown only against... you only faced two hitters, right? So it was three fastballs, and then he threw five pitches to the other guy, and it was three fastballs, two curveballs. And he got no swings, obviously, on the curveball. You're not going to. Neither one of them were over the plate, so neither one of them were called strikes. It's completely wasted at this point. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, all you have to do, and this is why I haven't given up on Bednar yet, is, one, there's no one else on this roster that I will put in that inning. I can't throw Santana out there and walk two guys. I can't throw Holderman out there to walk two guys. And they're the only other two there. And let's even go as far as Nicholas. He's going to walk guys too every once in a while. If you go out there, let's say 4 times a year and just can't throw a strike like those two guys tonight. If you do that 4 times a year, that's 4 blown saves. Plus there's about 3 times, unless you're having a fantastic season, there's about 3 times for all the really good closers, for the great closers, that you're going to get beat on a pitch as the closer. Like, you're going to lose a game because you're going to get beat on one. Bednar, I believe he got beat on one tonight. The problem is, I think that's going to happen more often than not until he can get a curveball. He's going to get beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I can't, if you just say, oh, 4 times, any of those 3 guys go out there, that's already 4 blown saves because you walked people, and then you're going to get beat 3 times. All of a sudden you have 7 blown saves. I can't trust that.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but I feel like he used to lean on his splitter a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And the splitter. Like he threw the splitter a lot.
And that's why he got away with a lot of the high fastballs, like, or the fastballs in the middle of the zone. Like, they weren't, you know, I think he did well enough at mixing pitches up.
Yeah, in this case too. In this case too, like, you're literally, he faced 2 guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, he threw 8 pitches. So
yeah, I'm not stupid concerned over Bednar's outing today.
So the second reason why he's the only guy out there is he fixes the curveball, he's back. The fastball's there. Fix the curveball and you're back. You're Bednar again.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
Now, I agree with
you. Obviously, he wasn't able to do that for a full season last year, so.
Right. I agree with you for the most part. But, I mean, like, also, like, where's your splitter? Like, that also was a very good pitch. So, the combination of figuring out your curveball and whatever you did with the splitter, maybe mix that back in again. I don't know.
Yep. The launch pad says, on one hand, Shelton preaches fundamentals all spring. And the first game, they look like they're lacking any sort of chemistry or basic baseball IQ. Okay, so I think, you know, like I said, it's new. We're wearing this a little bit. We're sitting in this a little bit. The first part of your phrase is dead on. Second part's where we, you know, tend to just snowball on ourselves. But I like this. What he's saying is, you know, Shelton is constantly talking about fundamentals, doing the things we can control, the little things he said a few times this spring. The reason he's saying that stuff is because these players don't. So he's trying to get them. And you know, you can come to your own conclusions on whether or not he's successful, but he's trying to get these things done by this group of guys. And there's a reason why he says it over and over and over again, because it's not working. They're still doing these things. By all means, O'Neill Cruz is still very new to center field. The ball in the 9th inning is a total misread of a fly ball, right? Total misread of a fly ball. I would hope over a summer of seeing those types of fly balls that eventually this guy's going to get it, right?
Yeah. And you can work out on it all winter, but it's just not the same as when you come in and you're on the field and you got to deal with the crowd in the background, you know, behind the ball, you know, picking the ball up out of the, it's a lot tougher. You can look great all winter when you get in the game or, you know, just getting back into a stadium setting. It's harder.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, I don't know. You talk about,
I still think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to be okay. I just think it might take him a month.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot there. IKF's IKF. You're not going to get anything different from him.
Right.
If it's a difficult play, it will be difficult for him.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the routine, I think you'll get them. I don't know. It's not ever going to be great. It's not ideal. That's not who we want playing short, but that's who's there right now. And I think it's the complete opposite of O'Neill Cruz. It's the ones you're supposed to make, you're going to catch, you're going to throw, and it's going to be an out. And the ones that you would think a major leaguer is going to make is going to be the fringe plays. And for Cruz, it was like those types of plays where he's got to throw it when you're like, there's no way he has a play. And then all of a sudden he does, but then a routine ball comes to him and he throws it into right field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like the complete opposite, but I don't know, man. Andy Rodriguez made an error at first base that didn't hurt him. He caught a line drive right after double play. I don't care about that one. It's not his fault that he got to play first base one time this spring.
Right.
But he did make a couple other plays that I was like, yeah, he's going to be all right. He's going to have to do this for a few weeks, and he's going to share time with Triolo there anyway. So it's not like it's going to be something major. But I don't know. A lot to be bummed out about, but there were some good things too. I mean, yeah. The offense put up 4 runs. I know that's two.
And in a good way. I mean, like 2 of those runs that hit in with Reynolds. I mean, there was 2 outs and nobody on.
Right.
Hayes goes backside. Hayes steals second. I think I had to walk away from my screen there, but I look back and there's bases loaded and we got 2 outs. I think I saw Pham got walked. Thank goodness. and then Reynolds comes through with a big hit. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, it was back-to-back. IKF and Pham both walk after that. So, yeah, and then Reynolds gets the big hit. Yeah, I mean, and Cruz gets called out after trying to hit one to Cuba, and then the next one just got him, dude. It just locked him up. You know what I'm saying?
It was a good pitch.
The thing is like, when you're out there and you got – and that's that guy that he was kind of wild too, but he just came in for Alcantara. You don't really know what you got. And he just locked him up. As a hitter, you're guessing a lot of times, and sometimes you get locked up. The Pirates seem to do that more often than we would like. And I know we're gonna sit here and say we're still looking at called strike 3. It's still just out of spring training. Let's go for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You'd like to see Cruz on that particular at bat when you've got guys on base, you got a guy, runners on corners, right? Because Reynolds didn't get to second on that. You've got runners on corners, 2 outs. Once Cruz swings like that, you just like to see the approach of him say, all right, let's protect the plate here. If he throws something anywhere close, let's think about maybe just poking it. And instead, he's probably just gearing up for a big swing, and that's how you get locked up, right? That's just how it happens. But, yeah, 1-for-9 runners in scoring position. 1 big hit.
Dang.
So, and that was with 2 outs, runners in scoring position. And it's the one guy that you expect to do well in that situation. He did.
Yeah.
Reynolds, obviously. So, yeah, and there's a lot of, it's one game. You get 162 of them. I saw things that I liked in this game. I'm going to say 4 stolen bases. I know it was 6, but 2 of them were double steals. So you kind of get a 2-for on that one. Mm-hmm. So, but still 6 stolen bases, 4 of them. You just got, Cruz and Key Bryan, which Key Bryan ended up getting a second one. But yeah, man, I don't know. There's good stuff. There's bad stuff, right? Yeah. Andy does walk once, but struck out 3 times. Some of those were 2-foot moving sinkers from Alcantara. Like Big Sandy was good. Yeah. You know, superstar. Anyway.
That's the reason a lot of people are calling for him to be in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I've seen a few people think that Baltimore's going to go out and land him.
Well, Bucko Mike even said driving up Alcantara's pitch count was good.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bucko Mike, you said Cruz and Bart 0-for-6. That's with runners in scoring position. 0-for-8 on the day, but runners in scoring position, 0-for-6. Miles makes a good point here. Being fair, Cruz didn't play much in spring. So he did have an illness coming into spring, which set him back as far as playing time. But he also played a lot on the backfields, so he wasn't in game action. And I'm telling you this, Jake, this is the big thing of what you talked about on fly balls to the outfield, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He would play in backfield games. I got pictures a couple different times from people who were down there. Playing on backfields, batting for both teams to get his at-bats in. So he's not even playing the field. He's playing in games, hitting for both teams, hitting every inning till he gets his at-bats in. So, like, let's be honest, though. his bat's got to be there this year. If this team's going to compete, his bat has to be there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to take a second and just go glass half full instead of glass half empty.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's try to.
Cruz and Bart 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. They were 0 for 8 on the day. So you're telling me that we actually only had our middle of our lineup only get 2 at bats today without runners in scoring position?
Yeah.
That's good. And I assume, and we're looking at one game out of 162 games, I have to assume that we're not going to go 0 for 6 every game. And I got to assume we're probably not going to be, you know, 6 out of 8 plate appearances with runners in scoring position. But I have a good feeling that this is the recipe was there today, and we did score 4, so that's good. But it's just the executing. And those two guys, I have confidence that those two guys are going to come through for us big at different parts of the season. Like, those are two of our guys we should be able to rely on as far as the bat goes. Keep getting them opportunities with runners in scoring position. Keep doing that, because they're gonna start coming through. I mean, game one, not real worried about this game. It's 1 out of 162.
Yeah,
I get it. It's game one, so we're all overreacting a bit. You know, season's over. Throw in the bag. We'll blow it in the ninth. You know,
they'll blow the playoffs.
The whole thing, you know, all of Dennis Quaid's quotes from Major League. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's one game.
Yeah.
And I know a division or wild card or whatever, even 500 can be missed by one game. So every game matters. I get that.
But you're still not going to win 162.
100%.
You know what I mean? So... Yeah. So obviously a couple of them. What's that?
This is actually a nickname I like.
Phlegm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like phlegm. I've been getting that from Bucko Mike a good bit here. So
that might be one of the first ones you've come up with, Bucko Mike, that I actually like. Not gonna lie. Runzinski.
I like Tommy Scam. I mean, 0 for 3, 3 strikeouts. And then he gets hit, and then he gets walked, or then a double, and then he gets walked. So he ended up going, you know, on base 3 times. And okay. I got other thoughts if you want to text me. We'll move on, but it's fun. Listen, you got another chance to do it tomorrow, and you got Mitch Keller on the mound. I would imagine the lineup might look a little different, maybe the same. It would be hilarious if it's the same, because Derek Shelton doesn't do that. It will look different tomorrow in some way. Maybe Endy will be catching. Maybe, you know, I don't know. We still have some guys to see. Triolo did not get in this game. We saw Frazier get in after Gonzalez went out. So maybe that changes some things. Maybe Triolo's starting at second tomorrow, giving Nicky G a day off. Who knows? Maybe it's Triolo at first and Frazier at second. We didn't see Bay or Sawinski. I thought we were going to see Bay at one point, but, to run, but we didn't. But yeah, I mean, not a good feeling for the bullpen, not a good feeling for the defense. And those are the kind of things that are going to kick you when the bats do enough and the starter does enough. You know, you got to figure out a way to get it done on the field too. So yeah, Dave, that's a good point.
I gotta kind of agree with you. I gotta agree with you on this, but also, remember last year we won 76 games and we swept them in the opening series. So,
Dave says you got to beat the Marlins with Skeens pitching, though. No, I mean, it's true, right? Rosati said
I agree with it.
Yeah. Rosati said on their show tonight, like, you get Skeens 32 times, which means you have another 130 games that you have to win. If you win like half of those, then you've got to win your lion's share of Skeens games in order to be competitive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a little bit of that. Bucko Mike says, does Cruz DH tomorrow? To be honest with you at this point, like, I'm not sure how you even do it. They don't have a center fielder on this roster. It's going to be Jack Sawinski, which might be the best one they have, or you're going to deal with Cruz or Bay, who have no idea where a fly ball is going. So, you know what I mean? Take your pick. what you need is one of those guys to just be able to hit. And I think Cruz gives you the best chance to do that. And it also just depends on who's pitching and all the things and what their matchups are and stuff like that. So anyway, Jake, just a couple minutes left here to wrap this thing up. We talked a lot about game one, fittingly so. We don't do these types of breakdowns, but we don't always have a show right after a game. Yeah. So I think it's fitting that we do this on opening day for an opening day reaction. There was enough to talk about in a game like today that it's easy to do. These are things you're going to watch for all year round. So the opening day roster in general, right? We talked on Sunday. We had our thoughts on what it was going to be. And, you know, a couple different things. DJ Stewart doesn't make the team, and he's going to play some first base. And they kept Bay and Sawinski there. I'm imagining they're just extending that. We did talk about that Sunday, too. They're just extending that competition until Horwitz comes back. Any thoughts on what you see? Majinski in the rotation, not Harrington. But any thoughts about what you saw and or is this pretty in line with what we thought?
For the most part, I thought, you know, I don't have any quote unquote problems with what they did. I don't love Bay being there, but he did play well enough in spring to earn it. So I can't be mad about it. I don't love Majinski being a starter right now. I don't think he's stretched out far enough. It's going to turn into a bullpen game. He's going to throw three innings.
I think he's stretched out a little bit further than that, but.
Depends on the pitch count.
Right.
He's going to throw 3 to 4 innings.
He could probably be up to 75 pitches, though.
Yeah. 4 innings, probably. I don't know how efficient. It's,
right. I mean, it's not going to be 94.
Right. It's hard to determine how many pitches are going to be innings anymore. But, yeah, I mean, I just see it being a bullpen-ish game. And I just don't love bullpen games.
Well, especially right now.
Yes, particularly right now. But at the end of the day, they said coming out that he was planning on being a starter. He threw well enough to be there. So again, I have some concerns. I don't have any problems with the guys they went with. They kept some of the guys around like Barucki and some of the guys that if they did get rid of them, they had the possibility of losing them completely. And then who do you have to throw in, you know, later in the year when you need to dip into your depth? Your depth ends up being gone. So, you know, I don't mind the roster. I will use this word, but not in a negative way. I thought they did well with roster manipulation.
To try to make sure that they have the whole depth and everything like that.
Yeah.
I understand. Kevin Gorman put out a cool tweet that I thought was worth sharing. The Pirates have had a different opening day starter in center field for 8 straight seasons.
Dang.
Cruz, Taylor, Sawinski, Reynolds, Alfred, Dyson, Shuck, and Marte. Wow. Those three, man. And in right, for 7 straight seasons. Reynolds, Connor Joe, Smith and Jigba, Tucker, Polanco, Heredia, and Cabrera. So they're just going to continue to go. I saw that Vinny Capra, Mike put out there, Vinny Capra, 1 for 3 with a homer. Yeah, I saw when that happened. I couldn't believe it. It was a bomb, too. It was a bomb. And Devin Williams almost blew a save against his former team. So, I don't know. Yeah, Miles says, Josh, as an ex-center fielder, that has to sicken you the same as me. I'm telling you, man, it is a defensive center fielder and shortstop right now. They've got it wrong, man.
Yeah.
They've got it wrong. They need to go defense there. But have they kept Reynolds in left, and I know what that means, but had they kept Reynolds in left and put Cruz in right and just went out and gotten a center fielder, Harrison Bader hit a home run today. Not that I think it's going to happen all year, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's guys. I don't know. There's guys out there. All right. I don't really have anything else on the roster. We're going to wrap it up here. trying to think if there was anything else that we were gonna go over here before. We had that. Yeah, that's everything, man. Happy opening day, Jake.
Yes, sir. I responded to you this morning with Happy Skeens Day.
Yeah. Yep.
I did the same thing to Brock too. Brock texted me this morning. Happy opening day. Happy Skeens Day.
Yep. Yep. All in all, good day. We still got a couple games tonight. I don't know who's staying up to watch them. I will be up. I don't miss a game on opening day. Even when MLB TV tries to make me, I don't miss a game. So it was difficult today trying to navigate like where what was going and still able to have StatCast up. And yep, it's all good. So there was a lot of good home runs today too. Yeah, there's a lot of really good close games today. Some blown saves. Cincinnati blew their game. The Cubs are going to tonight. The Cardinals didn't, but they could have or something. But yeah, no, it was fun. It's a lot of fun. Although the Orioles did, I think they hit 6 home runs today. Cedric Mullins got 2 of them. Got him on my fantasy team. Pretty excited about that.
That one that Rushman hit was crushed.
Yeah. Yeah, and you said O'Neill. They had a fair amount. Willier Abreu hit a big home run in the 9th. Wilmer Flores for the Giants, big home run in the 9th. Good games, man.
I wish I could have watched more of them.
Yeah.
I was, you know, kind of short-staffed at work, so I was trying to watch at least the Pirates in between customers and whatnot. But
I understand. Tough. Well, last thing I'll say is... last live Thursday night show for a while. We're not going to be doing them live on Thursday nights. Maybe in the off season again, if we get to that point. But if we were going to do it on Thursdays at some point in the summer, we'd be going live at like 11 o'clock. Nobody wants that. I certainly don't want that. So yeah. last live Thursday night. We're still doing live on Sunday nights. That's not going to stop. But if you listen on audio or even YouTube, where you can check it out, we're going to try our hand at more shows. The way our schedules work right now, we think we can provide the same amount of content, but spread it out. So we're going to do our Sunday night live show that'll release on Monday morning on audio. And then every day for the rest of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll release shows in the mornings, pre-recorded shows in the mornings. They'll be shorter, basically the length of this 10-15 minute. Try to keep them real short. Good for your commute to work if you have one. Good for all that stuff. So we're going to try it different, try to get you more stuff more often, and break it up. So that's the plan right now. Good.
Yeah mostly those are mostly going to be done by you.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, like, you know, if you guys have been following us along a lot, you know, Jake's had difficulty getting to some shows and stuff. So this is probably playing into that a little bit too. With his work schedule and the way it is, this does make it a lot easier. Jake will jump on when he can, but, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be, you know, more touch base, a little quicker. But as far as live shows, like, we're just not capable of doing that in the summer. We like to do things all summer too. We play some softball. Jake's working a lot in the night, so we got all those kind of things. So Thursday night live shows are just difficult, but we also want to, you know, try something new, something different, so try to get it out there more often. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Jake's just all over the chat right now. I can see your eyes just all over. I love it. Thanks as always, guys. Well, we still got a couple minutes here. What do you got for tonight?
What do I got for tonight?
The two games. Are you going to watch the games tonight?
I'm going to watch as much as I can.
Yeah. Cubs,
but, you know.
Cubs already down, right? 2-0. Oh and two. They've got a game tonight against the Diamondbacks. Zach Gallen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're getting started now.
I don't have a lot of content. I try not to do a lot of content on the internet right now.
I got you.
Because I don't want to bog it down. Yeah, I mean, I want to make sure this is going well.
Yep. They're getting started now. So if you were going to watch a little bit, now's the time. Cubs have just started. A's Mariners, the Athletics of A's. are playing against the Mariners.
I like Mike here goes Sacramento, Vegas.
Miles, yeah.
Or Miles, yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? Well, enjoy
Friday is Hawaiian shirt day.
Wear your Hawaiian shirts tomorrow.
So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and
I really should
wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
I'm going to wear a Pirates Hawaiian shirt to work.
I got all mine hanging up over there.
I don't have a boss there tomorrow. Oh, I got to do interviews. I can't do that.
All right, guys. Thanks as always. And next week, keep an eye on your... Make sure you hit subscribe. Make sure you hit the bell so that you're notified when the things are released and everything. Same thing with the audio listeners. Make sure you know. A little bit of a different schedule next week. It's going to be a lot of fun this summer. Let's go, Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.